Hello, welcome to The Summer Rise. I'm Roshan Mohammed Saleh. The Gaza Strip is often described as the biggest open-air prison in the world, besieged and regularly bombed by Israel on one side and blockaded by Egypt on the other. 80% of the population are now dependent on humanitarian aid. 63% of young Gazans are unemployed and 95% of the water is unfit for human consumption. But now, in an attempt to put the international spotlight back onto the humanitarian catastrophe unfolding there, a group of around 50 international activists are setting sail from Europe for the port of Gaza. As the brutal siege approaches its ninth year, today we'll be discussing the Freedom Flotilla's prospects for success. But first, here's Ashraf Shannon from Gaza with a report on how the siege is affecting ordinary Palestinians.
The Israeli blockade has caused great suffering for 1.8 million Palestinians living in the Gaza Strip. In place since 2007, the blockade has made unemployment and poverty rates to reach alarming levels. All sectors in the blockaded coastal enclave have been negatively affected, including farming and fishing. But the hardest hit, due to the illegal and inhumane Israeli blockade, are patients who can't find proper treatment in the Gaza Strip. This is the case of Hamza Al-Hadidi, an 8-year-old boy whose leg was shattered in a car accident last year. Israel has denied Hamza an exit permit, preventing him from getting proper treatment abroad.
I go to the outpatient clinic every 2 days, and they only change the bandages. This morning I was there, and soon after I felt so much pain in my leg. I had my mother remove the bandage because I couldn't bear the pain anymore.
Hamza had multiple failed surgeries in Gaza due to lack of medical expertise to treat such cases. His father says only an advanced medical center abroad can help his son.
The doctors told me that Hamza cannot be treated in Gaza. Hamza needs multiple very complicated surgeries and special implants that are not available in Gaza. A German medical team visiting Gaza told me that he needs a very special treatment abroad that could last for up to 9 months.
The air, land and naval blockade of Gaza has been the longest in modern history. As the Israeli blockade draws near to its ninth year, many here say they feel as if the world has forgotten about them and they have no one to turn to amid the international silence. Ashraf Shannon, The Sun Will Rise, Gaza.
To discuss the significance of this new Freedom Flotilla, which is setting sail for Gaza, we have two guests with us today. Zaha Birawi is the coordinator for the International Committee for Breaking the Siege of Gaza. This is a Palestinian initiative to mobilize the international community to act immediately to stop the Israeli siege. And Laura Stewart is a Palestine human rights activist who describes herself as a British Mavi Marmara survivor. That's a reference to the Turkish boat which she was on, which was attacked by the Israeli military in 2010, leaving 10 people dead and more than 50 wounded. So welcome, both of you, to the show today. Thanks for coming in today. Zaha, if I can start with you. Tell me about this latest Freedom Flotilla. Where is it now? What are its plans?
First of all, Roshan, let me say to the Palestinian father and his son that we will never forget them. And we, as International Committee for Breaking the Siege in Gaza and all the alliance in the Freedom Flotilla Coalition, we are working day and night in order not to forget them and in order to awake those who are forgetting them. The Freedom Flotilla Coalition, as you know, started this year from the north of Europe, from Sweden. Early May, they sailed from there to Copenhagen, then to Germany, then to Spain, to France, then to Spain. Yeah. And now they are in the south of Spain, in Mortil port. Today there will be a good celebration welcoming them in that port, and to get ready for the next step. The next step or the next stop will be in Italy, and after Italy we're going far to the east of Mediterranean in order to meet with the rest of the boats. Sure. In order to depart towards Gaza.
But this isn't going to be easy, is it? Because as we know, Mavi Marmara got attacked in 2010. Then there was another attempt in 2012. Also, that was stopped by the Israelis. I mean, what are the prospects of this actually reaching Gaza? Not good, right?
Let me say that we know the difficulties of being on board of such boats.
Yeah.
And we know at the same time that the mission deserves our trial. We must keep trying to break this inhumane siege on Gaza. And we believe that the Israelis, they will act maybe the same as they did regarding the Mavi Marmara or the other, the second flotilla. But that will not stop us from trying. The Israelis are going to be the losers if they try to attack this flotilla again.
Mm.
Because during the first one, until now, Israel is suffering from what happened in 2010,
yeah.
Politically, I mean, and in their relation with mainly the biggest Islamic country, which is Turkey, and other countries in the world, still criticizing Israel for what happened against Mavi Marmara and the Freedom Flotilla 1.
Laura, you were on that boat, the Mavi Marmara, in 2010
yes.
when it got attacked. I mean, given your experiences, I mean, how do you feel about these guys trying to do it again? Would you go on one again?
I certainly would. I tried to get on the one, I think, the one following that was stopped in Greece from leaving the ports by lawfare, as they call it. I'm not sure how they bribed the Greek government, but they managed to prevent that one from leaving the ports. I was in Istanbul ready to go on that. So, yes, definitely I would go again. I think this is a whole different experience on a little boat like this. I believe they've been pitching and rolling their way around from
Northern
Europe.
What kind of people go on these trips? Are they just pro-Palestinian activists that are very motivated to... I mean, what kind of mindset do you have to go on one of these...
You have to believe in justice.
Missions.
You have to believe that justice is achievable, and you have to believe that the people taking an action where the governments won't, because all of our governments are complicit in the siege and complicit in the occupation. And so we need the people to continue doing this until it reaches a critical mass that can change.
But it's symbolic, isn't it? I mean, the aid that they're actually carrying on the boats is negligible, isn't it? It's more of a publicity stunt to put the spotlight on the siege,
no,
right?
I think that they're carrying solar panels, which is very symbolic, because if you know about Nafiz Ahmed, who was sacked by The Guardian for writing about the gas offshore from Gaza and how Israel has made a vow that they'll not allow Palestinians ever to be independent from Israel with electricity, with power, with all of these resources, or to profit from their own resources under the sea.
Okay.
Then you see how our government was helping the PA as well and British Gas to try and make a deal behind the back of the Gazan people, behind the back of the Palestinian people there.
Okay.
So you've got to break through the siege. Who knows? Maybe that's one of the reasons that they don't
we're
allow the ship to go.
Pick this up in a few minutes' time, but we're going to move on for the time being. Sorry to cut you off there, Laura. We've been collating the messages that you've been leaving for us on social media relating to the Freedom Flotilla and other recent events in Palestine. So here's Camelia Shambayati with the social media roundup.
Hi and welcome to our social media roundup. So there's been mass online support for the third Gaza Freedom Flotilla and his footage of the Scandinavian aid ship Marianne arriving to Portugal en route to Gaza. The ship set sail on May the 10th along with other boats from Greece, Norway, Italy, Canada, South Africa, Spain and Turkey in an attempt to bring humanitarian aid to the Palestinian territory and bring the 9-year-long siege imposed by Egypt and Israel to an end. Moving on now, there's been tremendous backlash on social media from Palestinians and their supporters against the Palestine Football Association, who had a chance to suspend Israel from FIFA, but backed out at the last minute with the creation of Twitter hashtags such as Red Card Jibril Rajoub and Sold Out Jibril. If we take a look at a couple of tweets, Susie from the UK says, the PA, referring to the Palestinian Authority there, have shown unbelievable weakness by dropping the FIFA bid ban on Israel. The PA are not fit to lead the Palestinians. They deserve better. And even Hamas tweeted from their official accounts saying, we condemn the PA's last minute dropping of the bid to ban the Israeli occupation from FIFA. This move is inexplicable to say the least. Finally, a disturbing YouTube video that was recently uploaded shows Israeli soldiers breaking the arm of a Palestinian activist. according to the International Solidarity Movement, in Beit Umar, just north of Al-Khalil Hebron, Israeli troops broke the arm of local activist Yusuf Abu Maria and then arrested him. Yusuf was protesting with a group of around 30 local Palestinian activists outside an illegal Israeli settlement. And the Israeli forces continue to violently arrest Yusuf, even though his cries of pain were obvious. Okay, that's all the social media news I have for you this time. Please do check out our Facebook and Twitter pages to keep up with the latest on the show.
Zaha, before we talk about the flotilla again, I just want to briefly pick up on the Palestine Football Association not kicking Israel out of FIFA. I mean, they had the votes to do it, didn't they?
Yes.
What happened?
Unfortunately, the Palestinian Authority, they are taking all opportunities to let their people down. Mm. And not only the Palestinians have been let down by this decision, but the international community who are supporting Palestine and who were very happy that it is the time for them to kick out Israel from the
Why didn't they do it? Was some pressure put on Jabal Rajoub at the last minute?
Definitely, when a government rolled by individuals like Mahmoud Abbas and his allies, it is easy for the Israelis and the Americans to put the pressure on them and to take the decisions from them as easy as okay. what Jibril has done.
All right, back to the flotilla, because we're running out of time. I want to get as much in this section as possible about the flotilla. So you wanted to say something about the people on board.
Yes, actually this flotilla is supported by many politicians in the world, and we have more than 50, as you said in your report, of the politicians and public figures on board this time. One of them is the former president of Tunisia.
Yeah.
And some other politicians or former politicians from Europe and America. And we have many...
So will they be less likely to attack the flotilla if someone like as prominent as Monsef Manzouki is on it?
We hope so, especially we are calling all the governments, and we started sending some letters for officials in European governments, Arab governments, and to everyone. We believe that they might put some pressure on Israel not to attack this this flotilla. And regarding the aid also, I want to say that the aid we have is symbolic, yes, but that is simply because the mission is not a humanitarian mission or charity mission. Mm-hmm. It is a political message. It is we are requesting in our website and in our communication that we push towards having the Gaza port, Palestine port, to be built, to allow Gaza people to build their boat and to have a safe passage or pathway to from Gaza to the West Bank, and to lift the siege on Gaza. So it is political campaign and media campaign to increase awareness about the Gaza situation these days.
Laura, I mean, I know that you'll be a Palestine activist till the day you die, but ultimately, this siege is nearly 9 years old now. I think we're coming up to the ninth year of it. And the focus seems to be on it less than any time before. People aren't talking about it. They're talking about Syria, I don't know, or what's going on in Ukraine. But no one's talking about the Gaza siege. Is that a bit dispiriting?
No, I think it's a good thing. I don't think we should be just talking about the siege of Gaza. I don't think we should be talking about two-state solution. In fact, any organisation that I know that would talk about a two-state solution, I think I would be boycotting them, never mind boycotting Israeli goods. I think now that it's clear that the only solution is for the return of all the Palestinian refugees. So I would prefer to focus on the right of return. And obviously the end of the apparatus of the State of Israel. Mm. And then if the two people live there in peace as they did before, but the land is Palestine, the state is the instrument of oppression. So the State of Israel has to go, and the people can live on the land in peace.
Laura, can I very well put, but can I also ask you personally about the Mavi Marmara case? What is the status of that at the moment? Yeah, they're still looking for some kind of retribution, are they, from the Israeli military or
absolutely?
Or the government?
There was three conditions. One was apology, which Netanyahu did in person to Erdogan. And the second was the monetary compensation, which is for the families. I know some of the families quite well. I mean, that's not an issue. Yeah. And the third was lifting the siege of Gaza. One of the main issues about the ongoing court case is that the judge has issued the arrest warrants for the military personnel. However, those arrest warrants are sitting on the desk at the Ministry of Justice in Turkey and have not been sent to Interpol.
Right.
And it was my hope that Erdogan would win the election with a clear majority so that
he'd be in a position to push this.
Yeah. Yes.
But he didn't.
And the problem is that we have, of course, so many civilians willing to take an action like this, but at state level, the situation is not changing.
It hasn't moved yet. Okay, we're going to conclude this discussion in a few minutes' time, but we're going to move on for the time being. We've been collating some of the news from Palestine that you may not have seen on the mainstream media. So again, here's our quick roundup.
Israeli aircraft have bombed the northern Gaza Strip, allegedly in response to a rocket fired from Gaza that hit southern Israel. The rocket landed on open ground and caused no damage or injuries. No casualties were reported in Gaza either, following the airstrike, which struck a Hamas facility. A Salafi jihadist group, the Omar Brigades, who sympathize with ISIL, claim responsibility for firing the rocket at Ashkelon. They said the rocket was in solidarity with Palestinian prisoners held in Israeli jails and their own members incarcerated in Gaza. An Egyptian's appeals court has cancelled a ruling to list the Palestinian resistance group Hamas as a terrorist organization. Hamas is an offshoot of Egypt's Muslim Brotherhood, which the authorities have also declared a terrorist group and have repressed since the army ousted Mohamed Morsi from the presidency in 2013. Cairo has for many years played a central role in engineering ceasefires between neighboring Israel and Hamas. But it has also been instrumental in tightening the economic siege on Gaza in conjunction with Israel. Palestinians have heavily criticized the Palestine Football Association for dropping its motion asking for Israel to be suspended by FIFA. The motion had been included on the agenda at the FIFA Congress, but PFA President Jibril Rajoub said he had been persuaded to back down. The Palestine FA has accused Israel of hampering its activities and restricting the movement of players between the Israeli-occupied West Bank and the Gaza Strip. And finally, Israeli leader Benjamin Netanyahu has proposed resuming land for peace talks with the Palestinians, but with the initial focus on defining areas where Israel could expand Jewish settlements. Peace talks collapsed in April 2014 over Israeli settlement building in the occupied West Bank and East Jerusalem, and after President Mahmoud Abbas angered Israel by reaching a unity deal with Hamas in Gaza. A spokesman for Mahmoud Abbas said settlement activity must stop and all core issues of the conflict with Israel must be addressed simultaneously.
Zahra, again, I want to pick up on something in that previous report. Egypt has taken Hamas off the terrorist list. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good news? And why have they done that?
It is a step to the right direction, I think. The Egyptian authorities, they convinced or believed late that they must have some relation with Hamas, because without having the relation with Hamas, there will be no role for the Egyptians in the political process, because Hamas representing most of the Palestinian people, not only in Gaza, in the West Bank also. So 60% or more of the votes gone to Hamas in the latest election happened in Palestine. That means Hamas is a main player in the political scene in Palestine.
So it's about having influence.
And that reflects the decision of the court, reflects that the court is not only acting as a court, but they are influenced by the political scene in Egypt.
As a Palestinian yourself, I mean, we all talk about the Israeli-imposed siege, but Egypt has been equally as instrumental, hasn't it, in blockading Gaza. And it's got even worse since Morsi was ousted, right?
Unfortunately, Egypt are now part of the imposing the siege on Gaza by closing Rafah crossing at least. I don't want to talk about the buffer zone they created lately after the coup against.
Yes.
But at least closing this is not accepted by all the Palestinians, unless they are cooperating and benefiting from the siege. Some of the Palestinians, a minority of the leadership of Palestinians, they are cooperating with Egypt and maybe encouraging Egypt to keep this kind of siege on Gaza in order to gain some political gains for their parties or for their selves. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is the problem of the siege. The siege is not only Israeli. Yes, it is mainly Israeli, and this decision being taken by the Israelis, as you remember, and everyone remember, after the election in 2006, because the leadership of the Palestinians elected at that time did not please the Israelis or the Americans or their alliance in the region, especially Egypt and the Palestinian Authority. So this is the reason it is unlogical.
But this flotilla is
illegal.
more about, given that it's coming from the sea, and that is not a blockade imposed by Israel,
we are,
it's more focusing on Israel than Egypt,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And this to remind the people that we as a Freedom Flotilla Coalition, we concentrate on the breaking the siege from the sea. Okay,
right.
But we as international committee, for example, for breaking the siege, we are doing convoys, and we used to do many convoys every year until the coup happened in Egypt.
Yeah.
And
now
from
you
that
can't
time
even get
until now,
close.
The Egyptian authorities did not allow us to go to Egypt.
And it's practically impossible to cross that border, isn't it, now?
Yeah.
I mean, it's open once every few months now, isn't it, for a few days.
Laura,
we're coming to the end of the show now, so I guess I just want to ask you, you know, I mean, what's it going to take? It's a big question, this, but what's it going to take to break that siege?
What's it going to take to break the siege?
The end of Israel?
Well, you've thrown me. Was that one of the questions?
But what can we do as activists? I mean, I don't know. I don't want to sound overly pessimistic here, but are the steps that we're taking, you know, so small that we're never going to get to our ultimate goal? Or how do you see the future?
Let him answer that one. Exactly.
I think it will lead to a good results. This is our hope, and without the hope, we will sit down in our houses and do nothing. So we hope that we can do something. As I said to you, political campaign, media campaign, increasing awareness about it, and encourage the people to do activities and to pressure their politicians, their governments, in order to do something. Yes, I agree. It is not easy to break it by going to Gaza by three fishing ships.
But
it is symbolic, and it is awakening the people in order to do their duty.
How easy has it been to get the international media attention? Are people interested in this?
Unfortunately, it is not very.
It's tough.
But we are trying. At least when we go from port to port in Europe, we have a big celebrations or welcoming events for the boat, and we have local media and we have social media. So if the main corporate are not giving attention to this, but many of the social media, and it is huge, and I think it is influential.
Okay, Laura, anything else you want to say? Any kind of just to conclude? You got about a minute left.
I'm glad that they're continuing to try and break the siege by sea to prove to the Israelis that they didn't stop us, you know. But to conclude, I was thinking I want to be on the ships that take the refugees back one day to their land, because the Israelis chased them. Some of them had to leave by sea as refugees, and I would give anything to be on a boat that takes some of them back.
Inshallah, will happen soon, inshallah.
Okay, great way to conclude. Thanks a lot for coming in today, both of you. And we will kind of, on this show, we'll try and track the updates of this Freedom Flotilla as it approaches, and inshallah, as it enters Gaza this month or next month, I guess. Okay, that's all the time we have for today. Once more, thank you to all our guests. And don't forget to get busy, please, on social media, telling us what you think of the issues raised in this program. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next time for more discussion and analysis on Palestine. Bye-bye.